Good morning. It is good to be with you. We are going to go ahead and get started. Look forward to continuing our time together today. We will be continuing to just spend some time understanding different religions. We started Wednesday night with the Latter-day Saints, also known as the Mormons. And so we will pick up there this morning. Before we do, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the night's rest. We are thankful for protection from the storms. We pray for those who might have suffered damage or any physical harm. We just pray that you will continue to watch over all of those in the storm's path. We're thankful, especially now, for this time to once again think about how we can better be prepared with our knowledge of the scriptures and how to study with those we come in contact with. We're thankful for just this time that we have to focus on being better Bible students and how to show care and love with those that we study your word with. We just pray you'll bless our time together, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we barely got started on the history of the Mormons, but when we started, we talked about Joseph Smith and a little bit about his growing up. When he was roughly 14 years old, Smith believed that God had appeared to him. And we'll get into the specifics of his beliefs here in a second, but all in all, he believed that you know, it was he was going to start this religion, and that the world we'll talk about this too, that the rest of the denominations had corrupted God's word, and so as he grew up. He moved to Illinois, and that's where we had him when we ended Wednesday. And he had been preaching, his belief system that we'll talk about. And in the process of doing that, he angered, many in the city that he was in. Specifically, there was a newspaper, the Nauvoo, newspaper, who was made up of people who had left, the Mormon faith. And were denouncing it primarily because of the polygamy that was being taught. And this angered Smith to the point where he, who was a powerful man also on the political side, went after the newspaper and tried to get them shut down. And so that's kind of where we'll pick up today. So as a part of this, things became very challenging for the Mormons in, Illinois. They were worried about their safety, their well-being. And so Smith actually declares martial law, to protect the residents. And, this continues to just drive the wedge between, the Mormons in the area and the neighbors. To the point where they actually charge Joseph Smith with treason. So Smith reaches out, being well connected, he reaches out to the governor, and he's asked for the governor to help with the situation. The governor says, "Hey, I'm going to protect you and your brother," his brother Hiram, who was his older brother, also involved in the Mormon faith. But he said, "You have to go back and answer these charges, in the city of, Carthage." So he says, "I'm going to protect you." Well, who's going to protect me is what Smith basically asked. And it ends up being, those in the town who were against him in the first place. And so this story comes directly from the Latter-day Saints website. So the words you see are their words, and it says the protection came from the Mormon hating Carthage militia, who offered token resistance to the men attacking in jail. So at this point, Joseph Smith and Hiram had been placed in jail for their beliefs. Roughly 100 men attack the jail, and they kill Joseph Smith and his brother Hiram. Of the 100 men who carried out this murder, 9 of them are actually indicted as being responsible for the murders. And as you read through the history of, again, documented on the Mormon site, they go on to say that most people believe these 9 were guilty, but in the town, nobody actually convicted him of murders. And so that says to you a little bit about just how tense the situation was in the town where Smith was, the point where they basically let the murderers go. What the town was hoping for was by basically killing Joseph Smith and his brother Hiram, that they would put an end to Mormonism, and that would be the end of it. That did not actually happen, and as you can imagine, it actually motivated the people. And so a quote again from the Mormon website, they said, "Today members around the world join in singing, quote, 'Hail to the prophet ascended to heaven. Traitors and tyrants now fight him in vain. Mingling with gods, he can play for his brethren. Death cannot conquer the hero again.'" And so again, this is their perspective on his death and the fact that it brought glory to him and his belief system. So that's a little bit, around the history. What we want to do now is just kind of share, the belief. So there's going to be the belief systems that they have. There's a lot here. So we'll just try and go through it the best we can. We will not have time to go through everything. I will show you, Mark was kind enough to lend me this book. It's called The Mormon Handbook. And so in this book, it tries to summarize the beliefs and then some of the errors along with those beliefs. And just to give you an idea, this book is 278 pages long. So we will not get through a lot of this in a 45-minute class. But we'll try and hit the high level, give you an idea of some of the beliefs. And then again, as we've always talked about, the people you're studying with are probably friends or neighbors. Hopefully you can spend time in preparation to get ready for your studies with them. So beliefs, what do the Mormons believe? And again, these are all going to come directly from their website. And many of these are quotes directly from Joseph Smith himself. He said as follows, "I discovered that instead of adorning their profession by a holy walk and godly conversation agreeable to what I found contained in that sacred depository, this was a grief to my soul, thus from the age of 12 years to 15. And so again, this is where he's beginning to talk about the fact that he believes denominations have corrupted the scripture. As a 12-year-old boy, he's starting to develop his belief systems. And again, at 14, he believes God comes to him personally, in a vision. And we'll talk about that. He went on to say, "I found that mankind did not come unto the Lord, but that they had apostatized from the true and living faith. There was no society or denomination that built upon the gospel of Jesus Christ as recorded in the New Testament." He goes on and says, "I considered all these things and I cried unto the Lord for mercy. The Lord heard my cry, and a pillar of fire above the brightness of the sun at noonday came down from above and rested upon me, and I was filled with the Spirit of God. The Lord opened the heavens upon me, and I saw the Lord, and he spake unto me, saying, Joseph, thy sins are forgiven thee. Go thy way, walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments. Behold, I am the Lord of glory. For many days I could rejoice with great joy, and the Lord was with me, but could find none that would believe the heavenly vision. Nevertheless, I pondered these things in my heart." So here he is kind of recording his story on the events that transpired. Now, there are a couple times he's recorded his story, and there are some variations in what he recounts. But in general, he believes that God came down. He sees God. God communicates with him directly. And he tries to share this with other people, and they don't believe him. And so he says, I pondered these things in my heart. Time progresses, and he says, now when I was 17 years of age, I called again upon the Lord, and he showed me unto me a heavenly vision. So again, this belief that God, is connecting with him directly and bringing him these visions. He goes on to recount this vision, and he says, an angel of the Lord, Moroni, came and stood before me and called me by name. He said, the Lord had forgiven me my sins. Moroni is the son of Mormon. So if you wondered where Mormonism comes from, and this is where you start to see Joseph Smith's, trying to summarize what he believes. Mormon was the last of the Nephites who had been crushed by their rival, the Lamanites, four groups that settled in the ancient Americas. And so when you start to read about this belief system that Joseph Smith had, he has this view that there were these four groups of people that settled in the Americas, back in biblical times. There's a whole section in this book and a lot of writings dedicated to this. There's absolutely no proof of any of these, people that lived here. He has some very unique views on race, and the race of the people who came here. If you look back into it at the time, Mormons and their beliefs would have come across very racist, with their belief regarding skin color. They've since corrected or changed their views on this. But if you look back to, the beginning of time, they believed that, God punished people and that he changed their skin color because of their being sinful. And so because of that, they taught against interracial marriage for many, many years. And so all of this kind of evolves from this concept that he came up with about these four groups of people settling in the United States. As it goes on, he tells the story about these golden plates, that were apparently brought over, by these people who had settled in the United States, and they hid them underneath the hill called Cumorah. And then I'll read what he said. He said, God, he revealed unto me in the town of Manchester, Ontario County, New York. So very specific. There were plates of gold upon which there were engravings, which were engraved by Moroni. Again, the angel and his fathers, the servants of the living God in ancient days, and deposited by the commandments of God and kept by the power thereof, and that I should go and get them. And he revealed the commandments and revelations, and it was on the 22nd day of September 1822. So it almost is like a little bit like Moses getting the Ten Commandments, right? Here is Joseph Smith indicating that God has personally come to him and tells him about these tablets. What I read about the tablets, they're gold, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Roughly, they say estimates were that they weighed between 30 and 60 pounds each. So, interestingly enough, there's a lot of information about these tablets. One of the things I read, it mentioned that they were as thin as tin, T-I-N, which is interesting because for gold to be that big and weigh, mathematically it just doesn't work out. anyway, there's talk of him running with these tablets. We won't get into it, but it was just interesting. Here he is running with, you know, 120 pounds worth of tablets because people are trying to chase him away. Anyway, the story just continues to get bigger the more you read. He goes on to claim that God appeared to him three times in one night and then once the next day. He says, I immediately went to the place and I found where the plates were deposited and straight away made three attempts to get them. I cried unto the Lord, why can I not obtain them? Behold, the angel appeared unto me and said, you have not kept the commandments of the Lord. Therefore repent and call on the Lord. Thou shalt be forgiven, and in his own due time thou shalt obtain them. He goes on and says, I obtained them not until I was 21 years of age, and in this year I was married to Emma Hale. So you can see between the age of 12 and 21, this story that he is sharing has continued to grow, and it continues to really become a little bit harder and harder to comprehend all of it. It is so unique and different. He goes on to say that he obtained the plates in December of that year, and then he moved to Susquehanna with the assistance of a gentleman named Martin Haar. Martin Haar was someone he encountered, and I think he convinced Martin Haar that this revelation and these plates and this story that he's sharing is real. And so Martin Haar gives him $50 to help offset his expenses, because at this time, if you read about it, it says Joseph Smith basically he had no money. And so Martin Haar steps in, gives him money, helps him move, and becomes his partner in this faith. He says, because of his faith, the Lord appeared to him in a vision and said he must, and this is talking about Martin Haar. The Lord appeared unto him in a vision and said he must go to New York City with some of the characters. And by characters, what they mean is on these two plates, there were not words, there were inscriptions and pictures. And what Joseph Smith goes on to say is like, I'm not a smart man. I can't interpret what these mean. I need help. And so he convinces Martin Haar that he needs to take him to New York to learned people. And I think that's kind of the next. Yeah. Take these characters, some of these characters to New York to meet with learned people. And then come back to him and tell him what they say. And so Martin does this. Joseph Smith claims that this is just all part of what was being prophesied in Isaiah. What he's doing is biblical and it ties back to Isaiah. So they work on translating what is now roughly known to be 116 pages off of these tablets. Martin decides that he wants to share this with other people. However, he goes and asks God if he can share this, and God tells him, no, you can't share it. You can only share it with four people. And so you have a covenant with the Lord that that's all you're allowed to do. Well, Martin breaks the covenant and shares these documents with more than his four friends. And as a result of this, Joseph Smith now says the plates were taken from him by the power of God. And so, again, it is an intricate story. Smith goes on to say that he retained them again when he met a name by Oliver Cowdery, and was able to get these plates again. He goes on to say that the plates, that he had, that they finished translating him. It was this Oliver Cowdery, Joseph Smith's wife and his brother were the ones who finished kind of this translation. And then once they were done, the plates were supposedly taken back to heaven and they don't exist anymore. So there's obviously no real evidence the plates ever existed. And so the story is difficult to actually prove. But when you start listening to the story, there are holes all throughout his story as you read it. So that's just kind of a little bit about where Mormonism came from and how it got its start. And you can see by just the uniqueness of this tale of God appearing to him, that it is very different from any denomination that we've studied thus far. It is one that is very unique and created in the individual's mind, Joseph Smith. Not everyone in the Mormon religion believes everything the exact same way. So just as we've talked about with many denominations, they have had their fair share of splits. And so there are divisions within the Mormon belief system, and I think it's important to just kind of be aware if you happen to be studying with one. All of it's going to go back to Joseph Smith and his beliefs, but there are some things that they have changed their positions on, so you'll need to kind of understand individually what the person might believe. So just to talk about this roughly, Brigham Young took over after Joseph Smith, and we talked about Brigham Young was really not well respected and seen as kind of a tyrannical leader. And so that resulted in a group splitting away from him. They felt like they should go a different direction. They felt like the Book of Mormon claimed things that he wasn't teaching and he wasn't following their doctrine and covenants. This group becomes known as the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or RLDS, and now they would call themselves the Community of Christ. There were three other splinter groups. One of them was called the Church of Christ Temple Lot, who separated from the Latter-day Saints, and they left for the same reason. They did not believe that they were following the Book of Mormon and the doctrine and covenants as should be. The other one is the Church of Jesus Christ, the Bickertonites. This is named after a man whose name was Bickerton. The reason they broke away was they spoke against the teachings on polygamy. And because of this, one of the elders created his own division of the Church of Christ of Jesus, Latter-day Saints. Also, there is the Strangite group. They were following a gentleman by the name of James Strange. He was also after Joseph Smith, but they claimed he should have been the real successor to the presidency and not Brigham Young. And so, again, they began to follow him. He went on to claim that he had his own revelations and translations of other plates that came to him. And so, again, there's going to be lots of other groups in the Utah area, specifically here in the States, who tend to follow after individuals, and the Mormon Church will tell you that they don't associate with everyone that's in Utah and all the beliefs that we hear. So they will separate themselves from some of the individuals that we kind of group in to one classification as Mormons. They do push some of those away and say they're not associated with us or our beliefs. So let's talk about the organizational structure that Joseph Smith put in place. And so I know it's small, sorry, I couldn't make it much bigger, but essentially he is considered the first president. That is his title. It will always go to Joseph Smith. And then underneath him, they have the first presidency, and the first presidency, is a group of three individuals. They are the president and prophet, the first counselor, and the second counselor. And as I read about these, it goes on to say that they believe that the president of the church is considered a living prophet who can and does speak to God. Below them is what is called the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. These are senior individuals. They are addressed as president. Each one of them, there's one who is addressed as president. The rest are remaining as elders. Underneath them, there are quorums of 70. There are multiple quorums of 70, and these are all under the direction of the apostles, and the overseers. And underneath the quorum of 70, there are seven presidents. Then there's a first quorum and a second quorum. Over to the right, you see the presiding bishops. These men are called the general authority. They are called to their positions by the apostles, and they in turn select the stake presidents for their post. And then over on the left, you have general officers, primary officers, relief society, Sunday school, young men, young women. And so this is how Joseph Smith set up this organization. So it is far different than any religious group that we've studied thus far, and that's why I thought it was interesting to see. But again, the thing to be mindful of even today is they believe that their president is basically a in direct contact with God, and as he speaks, they follow. Yeah.
If you put that template and Roman Catholic template on top of that, wouldn't they be very similar?
To some extent. Some extent, yeah. Their belief on the level and what people do though is a little bit different. But yeah, to some extent, yeah. 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 So. What I saw, they were, when Joseph Smith was here, they were in like Illinois, Missouri area, but because of the persecution they were experiencing, they began to start to migrate west. Yeah. And I didn't read on how they all, a vast majority ended up in Utah. Yeah. They do, yeah. We'll get into the, yeah. 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 They have some unique beliefs for sure. We'll go through this part fairly quickly since we covered the, slide, but again, the 15 lead, the most senior is the president. We're going to go ahead and we'll cover this quick. This was interesting. They believe the apostles are regarded as special witnesses, of Jesus Christ. The quorum of 70 assists the 12 apostles throughout the world. What they said was there are currently 8 quorums of 70, and each quorum may have up to 70 members. We're going to go ahead and skip through some of this. One of the things they did say, this word stake, a leader of a stake is a stake president. Stake is not a term found in the New Testament, but is taken from the Old Testament tent imagery in which the tent or church is held up by supporting stakes. Stake presidents and bishops are leaders most commonly encountered by the broad membership of the church. So that's a little bit about their organization. It's important now to talk about books. What do they believe? Where do they come from? Mormons will tell you, the three books of scripture that were written or translated by Joseph Smith are the primary authority that they will follow. And so the books are the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. And so if you hear these books or see them referenced, you'll know that it's someone of the Mormon background. The Book of Mormon is a history of this tribe that Joseph Smith was starting to talk about that traveled to America and then perished later. And so some of the things we talked about, you know, how the tablets got here, it just, this comes from this Book of Mormon. It is, according to Joseph Smith, another testament of Jesus Christ. They consider it to be prophecies and communications that were made to him through Jesus. It contains 15 books, and it was translated from these golden plates, specifically by Joseph Smith. So that is the Book of Mormon. Again, it is the story of two groups who migrate to North America. They will tell you that this happened right before the Tower of Babel in the Bible, and this is the confusion of languages. And then they will say there is a second migration from Jerusalem at 600 BC that was just before the destruction of the Babylonians. And so that is how the Americas became populated. The book is mostly about the second migration. And so it goes on to start talking about this. Once they arrive in America, the second migration will split with one of the groups. One group will follow a gentleman by the name of Nephi, and the other his brother Laman. The Lamanites turn against God. They fight with the Nephites, and then God curses the Lamanites with dark skin. And so this is where the racist part of Mormonism comes into play, right? Because they believe that individuals with dark skin were, they resulted from a curse by God. And so because of this, this created this racist view that they had. It says the Lamanites eventually kill all the Nephites. They were, discovered by Columbus, and then they were called Indians. And so this is how the story goes. And again, there are no words to really explain it other than just to read it. The interesting thing is the Book of Mormon, and I found two places that talk about this in different numbers. But the Book of Mormon, at least in one place that I read, said it had undergone over 4,000 changes since its original printing. One of the later versions of research I read said now it's well over 5,000 changes. And so it's ironic because the Mormons say that the scripture, it had stuff left out of it because denominations revised the Bible time and time again. And, therefore that's why there was the need for God to talk to Joseph Smith. But isn't it interesting that the Book of Mormon has now over 5,000 revisions. And so, one of the other things that I read that was very interesting was that was the original, or the claim by the Mormons is that the scriptures that we look to, again, have stuff left out. But interestingly enough, Joseph Smith himself actually translated the scriptures. And so they don't like to talk about that because, that puts him in contributing to kind of the claim that the Bible was corrupted by man because he did it himself. So it's interesting. Again, you probably would never get into that level of discussion with somebody who shows up at your door. But again, it's just interesting history, Alice. Yeah, all they say is, Yeah, it was, from what I could tell, it was because, you know, again, the message was he hadn't been forgiven of his sins, therefore he wasn't able to translate it. So, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And they have to do that because, again, as you look at this religion and you look at how it's changed, I mean, 5,000 plus changes, there's some significant changes. Polygamy obviously being one of them, right? Their belief on whether, and we'll get to that. Yeah, I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything that. Yeah. Well, even he himself said he had trouble getting people to believe it. You know, back in when he was trying to share with people that God, you know, appeared to him, he also had great difficulty. But he did eventually, you know, create a following. And it still exists. Yeah. And like I said, the things that we're talking about now, you don't often hear talked about, from the Mormon faith. They don't go back this far always. At least what I was reading, because there are so many oddities and conflicts. So they kind of blurred their past and they're kind of teaching forward and don't really look backwards a lot. That may be why. What? Yeah. Yeah, we'll come back. So to some point, there are some who are trying to restore. This is where you start to see these divisions come, because there are some who are going to go back to the plurality of wives and some who don't. And I'll tell you what, the church, when we get there, I'll tell you their, show you their position on that. Chris? Spotter? Okay. Billy? Yeah. Yeah, they don't. They don't explain that away. Yeah, we've got that. So you've kind of covered that. But to that point, right, there's lots of problems with these claims, right, that God personally came and, you know, he saw the faith, you know, he saw God. We know in the scriptures that no one can see the face of God. So there are lots of issues with this belief. And we'll talk a little bit, maybe Wednesday night, on the fact that they claim they're still prophets, and what the scriptures really say about that. Yeah. Well, that is just he convinced people that he was a prophet and that God spoke to him. And so we'll talk about what the Bible actually says about, is that even possible? Likely we'll get to it on Wednesday. So when the second book that they will talk about is this book called The Doctrine and Covenants. Supposedly containing the revelations of God to Joseph Smith. And so again, if you hear that, what is contained in it, and there's going to be a lot here, but he claims that God outlined for him in this book, the organization of the churchhood. He talks about the priesthood, the plurality of God, God was a man exalted. The human's ability to become a God, 3 degrees of heaven, plurality of wives, words of wisdom, preexistence of the human spirit, eternal progression, baptism for the dead, and celestial marriage. Now you know why just the one book's 278 pages. We could pick a multitude to study from and try to understand their view, and then again, it's not complicated to go to the scriptures to refute any of this. So it can be intimidating to hear all this because it is so different. But what I want you to know is that the minute you go to the scriptures, it's very easy to address some of these things. And so, don't back away from a chance to study the Bible, with them. But be aware, they're not going to want to go to the Bible. They're going to want to go to their books. The Pearl of Great Price, is also another book. In it, actually, it includes, portions of the Bible that were translated by Joseph Smith. Again, this is problematic for them because they say the reason they don't believe the Bible was because man translated it. Yeah, Joseph Smith did the same. So the book they don't want to use, the leader of their faith also created his own translation. So it's a little problematic for them. In this, it's going to include the following, the book of Moses, the book of Abraham, the book of Matthew. A portion of this book is going to be the history of Joseph Smith's revelations. And, the Church of Latter-day Saints also affirms the validity of some other texts written by Smith, time to the present day. But the only sources they believe are thoroughly inspired are these three. So there are some other books out there that they might reference, but they would tell you these three are going to be the key to their belief system. So again, very, very, very much far away from the scriptures. We've got a few minutes. We'll go ahead and start. What do they believe about Jesus? They will tell you, and again, this is from their website, the fundamental principle of our religion are concerning Jesus Christ, that he died, was buried, and rose again the third day and ascended into heaven. All other things which pertain to our religion are only appendages to it. So look, as strange as some of these things might sound that they believe in and they support, there's some common ground you can find with them, right? And that's what we're always trying to look for. So there are some things that you can start out, having discussions with them about. Again, this one may be more challenging of a Bible study because of these different books that they will want to refer to, but, there may be some common ground. So we talked about polygamy. Yeah, Ruth. Yeah. Well, again, so the question was, if they are the Church of Jesus Christ, why are they looking to some other man? Well, again, remember their belief on Joseph Smith was that he told them God came to him. So he has introduced himself as a prophet. And so they believe that he was no different than prophets in the Bible. And that these are additional revelations that God wanted us to have. So, polygamy, this is probably one of the things that they're most, you know, when you think of the Mormons, most well known. This is what they say about it. Church founder Joseph Smith made a prayerful inquiry about the ancient Old Testament practice of plural marriage. This resulted in the divine instruction to reinstitute the practice as a religious principle. So this is why they began to practice polygamy, was because he saw it in the Old Testament. He supposedly was told by God that he needed to reinstitute that. Well, things have changed now for them. So in 1890, President Wilford Woodruff. Now, this is not the president of the United States. This is the president of the Mormon belief. He received what the Latter-day Saints believed to be a revelation, which God now withdrew the command to practice plural marriage. He issued what now has become known as the Manifesto, a written declaration to the church members and the public at large that would stop the practice of plural marriage. So again, this is from their website. So they don't deny the fact that Joseph Smith supposedly was told by God to institute polygamy. But now they do say that God came to them again and said they needed to stop it. So this is interesting, and we talked about the different religions or different splinter groups. Some still believe in this and some don't. But the official position of the Mormons is now that this would be stopped. So with that, I think we are out of time for today, and we will pick up on Wednesday. Wednesday will be our last class, so look forward to being with you again on Wednesday. Thank you very much for your comments and participation.